Hi, I'm Cameron.
And I'm Emily.
I've never read Twilight before.
And I've read the books too many times to count. But now we're reading them together.
Welcome to Unbitten, a journey through the Twilight Saga. Hello, everyone.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of us saying horrible things to you.
Sorry, I need to leave the call right now. That was horrendous what you just did. I hate when you speak, you know?
All right, yep. Let's call it here. All
right, sorry, guys, we're ending the podcast. Can't do it anymore. I'm done. I've had enough.
We're breaking up. I'm sorry. Oh, Mom and Dad are breaking up.
Can we make a YouTube apology video? Yeah.
Why we broke up.
Yeah, exactly.
Why I'm leaving Unbitten in the style of why I left BuzzFeed.
Right. those higher-ups weren't paying me enough for my creativity.
Yeah, that is true.
And by those higher-ups, I mean myself.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's record this podcast, shall we?
Methinks I will.
Oh, okay. All right, little Victorian child.
Yeah, I'm feeling very Victorian child today.
You seem it. I'm glad, you know, we always have to have a day or two to act like a Victorian child, and I'm glad that you are having this day for yourself.
Yeah, I feel like we were talking about musicals, and I'm still thinking about Oliver, and I'm like, that's me.
Please, sir. Can I have some more?
Can I have some more?
Please, sir. Just a smidgen.
Yeah, you're a really good orphan. You should play an orphan.
Thank you.
You're such a good voice actor.
Yeah, someone cast me. I have a new microphone now, so
you're ready.
Can cast me. Yeah, so I do have a new mic now, so if this episode sounds better, great. If this episode sounds worse, I'm still figuring it out.
All I'll say is that from my ears, I almost said my earballs, like my eyeballs.
I heard you start saying another syllable and then give up. Yeah, that was fun.
I was like, earworm? My ears. For my earballs, you sound great.
Good. That's good to know. All right. Well, everyone, let me know if your earballs are pleased. Or if not, we'll figure it out. Okay, should we talk about this book that we're reading?
Sure. Oh, my last thing about musicals, because the reason that we were talking about them is I got tickets to see Six in Toronto, and I'm very happy because I haven't gone to Toronto for a musical in literal years.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you. And Six seems like such a cool show.
It seems like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's concert style, so it's going to be like super high energy.
Yeah, exactly.
But it has like a good array of music, like almost genres. I mean, it's sort of within the same sphere, but there's like a good couple ballads. There's some more high energy stuff. There's like that sort of rap like one.
Absolutely.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you.
I think it'll be good because we were trying to get tickets for Hadestown in the summer on one of those like standing room only type last minute.
Right. Yeah.
Final sale tickets. And it just was, we tried for 1 week and we were like, it was only showing for one more week when we were like, oh, Hadestown is in Toronto. And so we just gave up.
Yeah. Well, Hadestown is in New York all the time.
Okay. So let's go there.
All right. Next year. But yeah. So we read chapters 14 and 15 of Breaking Dawn for today's episode. And, I hate this book.
You hate this book? Shut up. You love this book.
I love this book. I have some... I'm just like... I think because I always knew that Bella was going to have a baby.
Right.
When we got to her whole pregnancy thing, I didn't really think that much about it, honestly.
Right.
But I've just... I don't know what it is about this couple of chapters. I think I was also talking with a friend earlier today about a pregnancy trope in another book series that really pisses me off. And it just made me think about how much I hate when books do this. Yeah. When they take the female protagonist, they make her have a baby, and in doing so, they just completely write her out of the story.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's... she's literally having a character get pregnant in a story is not inherently bad.
No.
I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, pregnancy, just in general. But there's this thing that tends to happen when a character, especially, like, in fantasy or in, like, action.
Right, where she becomes sidelined.
The female protagonist will be so fucking cool and badass, and then they'll get pregnant and not do anything.
Right. It's like, oh, I'm and it just goes, like a mother, and all I have is love in my heart, and mer, mer, mer.
Yeah, and it goes against their character, yeah. And it's just like, yeah. I think I was thinking about another series and then reading this. It just made me angry.
That's fair.
It's all just on my mind.
And you're right about, like, being written out, because we're literally reading the section of the book where it's not even Bella's point of view.
Right.
Like,
and all we get from Bella is various stages of her on a couch.
Yeah, because it's only when Jacob goes to visit her for a bit. So she's literally written out, because this is a book series that has been her first person point of view the entire time. And the moment she's pregnant, we leave her head for the first time ever.
Well, yeah, didn't you know pregnant women are really uninteresting?
Yeah, they have no thoughts, actually.
Nope. They can't do anything.
Nope.
They don't have can't agency. Do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
And
really.
Also, like, I hate a danger pregnancy. Again, like, I think, again, I'm thinking of
the
whatever.
Usual trope where it's like, oh, the blood pressure. Oh, no, the fetus is choking on the umbilical
especially
cord.
Especially in, like,
oh, the...
in, yeah. Or, like, in fantasy, this shit happens all the time. Like, oh, they're different beings. So, like, is it compatible? Ooh. And it's like, get a fantasy abortion.
I would say that I do think hers is sort of fun in that she starts drinking blood. I like that.
I do. Yes. I think hers is fun. I'm not saying that I 100% hate it or would take it out
but
of this book series.
The point that it's not original and it's done almost too frequently. I mean,
yeah,
it simply is.
And I also just wish that, I don't know, it feels like authors try to make their female protagonists cool and badass and hip by making them not want kids.
Right.
And then they get further into their series and they're like, oh, but actually I want to have her have kids.
Right.
So then it's they like, make her have kids and give her this, like, big out of character turnaround, like 180, where she's like suddenly wants to have kids, which just isn't necessarily always realistic, especially if I'm someone who... Like, you know, if you're someone who does not want to have kids and then it gets sprung on you.
Yeah.
That's, like, even worse.
Yeah.
If you're someone who has thought you hadn't wanted kids and then you think about it and you decide, okay, I do actually want kids, especially with this person, and then it happens, even if it is a surprise that it happens so quickly or whatever.
Yeah.
Still, like, ugh, it just...
That's gotta take...
I don't know.
I agree with you because if we want to feel that it's believable, that takes more processing. Than, mm-hmm. like, what happens with Bella, you know? Because she found out, and then she's like, wow, amazing, incredible. I didn't think it was possible. I'm like, what? Girl, what? Where did that come from? But
right. And it's just... And it's frustrating because it feels like the authors are trying to make these women not want children to make them seem, like, more tomboy, more not like other girls, more cool. Like, you can just
you
have
can
your
have
protagonist want to have kids.
You can have both.
And that doesn't mean that she... only wants to be pregnant or yeah. And that doesn't take anything away, like a woman wanting to be a mother does not take away from her as like as a person.
It doesn't take away
it does
from
not
her
take
being
away from
badass,
her
an
right
adventurer,
like
a conqueror, you know, a leader, a queen, whatever.
Exactly. So it's very frustrating.
I like that. Yeah. In Throne of Glass she didn't get pregnant.
I love that so much. Thanks. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I like here's the thing, is that I like that we got a little hint at, like, what's to come. Because remember that one time where Rowan has that dream and he's like,
yeah.
I see us in the future and we have all these kids and, like, he describes them.
Yeah.
And, like, which one looks like which one of them. And it's like, oh, my God, this is that, yeah. But then you don't have to put it in the text. Like, it doesn't have to be in the text.
It
you can imply
it
into
be.
The future. You can put it in a fucking epilogue. I don't care. I don't like when it's just put in the, yeah, I
yeah.
don't know. Whatever.
Anyway. What happens
but
in
we,
chapter 14?
I just need, like, I felt like I just glossed over that when we were reading it, and it felt out of character for me to not go on a rant about pregnancy tropes in literature. Like, women and just literature in general is
yeah, it's
something that is interesting to me and that I feel like I
if there's a romance
was remiss
story
to not talk about
with a female protagonist, there's always this sense of like a trope, a cliche, maybe even like a sense of pressure on the author to some degree of like, this is the expectation. If I want to show that she's having her happy ending, then obviously that means that she has to have kids some way. So how do I make that work?
Right.
And it's like, you don't have to. You don't.
Yeah, and to be fair, like a lot of books don't do this.
Yep, a lot do.
But a lot do, yep. And more than I think are necessary, and they're fit in a way that is just kind of
including
like, what
this
the
book.
Fuck are you doing?
Including this yeah. book. It was completely unnecessary, I think. Because
that being said, I love the flip side of like how The Hunger Games does it.
Yeah.
Where they play into everyone's expectation that they're going to have this like happy ending and oh, she has a baby, so they won't do anything. But then, of course, she doesn't have a fucking baby. It's Katniss. Like, she's yeah. like, fuck this shit. I have more important things to do at the moment.
I mean,
I don't know. So
she has kids later.
There's flip
Again,
sides.
Epilogue.
Yeah.
Because
again,
that's
something that women should not be barred from having if they want to seem like a badass.
Yeah.
But I love that they what's her name? Suzanne Collins.
Yeah.
I love that she flipped the script literally within the text being like they would expect her to settle down and have a kid immediately. That is what like the capital or whoever expects of women in this society, that is what is expected of women mm-hmm. in this, you know, whatever. And she flips that and uses it to her advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't want to at first. Obviously, it's more complicated than that, which again adds intrigue.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like that a lot more. I think that's really good.
I completely agree. Yeah. I've always hated, just in general, the fact that I just keep feeling like Bella's life was so set up to be fucking cool as shit, being like, I'm a vampire, I'm immortal, I got my hot boyfriend, let's go, like, ready for the rest of my life, finally. I'm like, what? Now you have to have a kid? Now you gotta raise a kid?
Now you have to raise a kid?
Come on,
God damn. All right, well, we can talk about these chapters now. Chapter 14 is, you know things are bad when you feel guilty for being rude to vampires, which is just
another
home run of a
title.
Chapter title.
Yeah. He's really good at this.
Yeah. Jacob should be naming all the chapters, absolutely.
I agree. I think it would be very funny to have a Jacob POV on what the fuck was going on with Bella, just so he could name the chapters. Not like he's like, not
right.
an actual POV book, just him somehow looking back on like Twilight as a whole and naming the chapters based on
right.
his own perception
I literally just want Jacob to go back and name all the chapters.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That's all I want.
So, this chapter, Jacob comes back to the Cullen house.
He what? Sorry.
Jacob comes.
No way! That's crazy.
That's so wild. and there have been pants and a shirt left out for him because the last time that he phased to go have his little werewolf meeting, he was like, fuck, I ripped my last set of clothes. I guess I'll just be a werewolf forever now.
Right.
So that's nice. And Bella's yeah. way too happy and way too excited to see Jacob, even though she's married and pregnant. According to Jacob, he's like, it makes no sense. She's not supposed to act like this. She's supposed to be with Edward, so why does she keep acting
yeah.
like she's happy to see me?
This is one thing where I'm like, I do wish I didn't know about the whole fucking imprint baby thing. Because I'm totally, like, clocking this. I mean, this, as far as my perception of it is,
sure.
they have, like, this... They're more drawn to each other than they used to be.
Sure.
Like Jacob, especially in the next chapter, he talks about
does
how
say that.
He's like more drawn to her. He's like, why is it harder now? She's like married, whatever. And Bella's saying, my family doesn't feel complete unless you're there, which we'll get there and we'll talk about how fucking toxic that is. But additionally, I'm like, it's because Jacob's going to fall in love with your baby in the most disgusting
gross.
Way. It's so gross. Oh, my God. I wish I could live in a world where I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would feel so safe.
It's so, you know, I get it. And it was like the biggest sort of meme of Twilight for so long is like her fucked up baby, right? So
yeah.
like I would have been shocked if somehow you didn't know about the
yeah.
baby existing. Like,
yeah. When I didn't know anything about Twilight, all I knew was you named my daughter after the, you nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster.
Exactly. Like,
I know this.
So, you know, here we are. There's still much to go. There's still so much that you don't know will happen. So we're fine.
And I'm, yeah, like, I'm just, what? I don't even mean for like the sake of the podcast. I just mean for my bliss and safety. Oh, yeah. And like mental stability. I wish I didn't know that he imprints on her baby.
Of course. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
That's
it's more of like a not a content thing. It's more of health. A my mental health. Yeah. So that's my question is, well, actually, I was going to ask, like, how are you still OK after having known about this for over a decade? But then I remember you're not OK.
Yeah,
you're
I was going to say.
Crazy, so
isn't the answer to that obvious? Like,
as are all of our listeners, by the way.
Yep.
You're all psychopaths. Any one of you that I've talked to are fucking crazy. I love you. You're insane.
So,
any questions?
No questions.
Okay.
Jacob gets out a great blonde joke at Rosalie, which is
oh my God.
The theme of these two chapters.
Yeah.
Again, the Jacob section, fucking top tier writing. I swear to God.
Yeah, it's so good.
You know how to drown a blonde, Rosalie? Glue a mirror to the bottom of a pool.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
It feels
so
2003.
I was literally about to say that.
Oh my God.
It feels so mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Like,
that was the peak. That was the peak.
Like the height of comedy was just making fun of blonde women.
Yeah, it was blonde jokes. I don't know why.
Yeah. And calling people gay.
Yeah, truly.
I still call people gay and it's really funny.
It's actually really funny to do that. I think we should bring it back.
I think we should bring back straight teenage boys calling people gay.
Yeah, sure. Everyone cancel Cam. This is going
to
be the last.
Yeah, that's another reason for me to get canceled. For the last episode, I just got a new mic and it will be muted from here on out.
So, Esme is worried about the new pack being homeless. And so she's offering food for them because they do have food there. And
I know it's so
a shower and clean clothes because they have so much stuff that it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, we'll give you whatever you need because the wolves are protecting them and they have literally no home right now. They can't go back right now. Maybe not ever. And for the foreseeable future, they're just little like forest gremlins. So
they're little forest dogs.
They really are.
They're little stray puppies.
They are stray puppies, and Esme just wants to house them all. So
yeah,
she's really
I love
sweet.
Jacob calling her a vampire mother hen.
I know.
It's so cute, because she totally is.
Yeah.
She's leaving out the clothes. She is doing XYZ. Like, she even, at some point in these chapters, says, oh, I freshly washed these for Leah, and I tried to touch them as little as possible so it wouldn't smell like me.
Yeah.
So sweet.
But yeah, she's like, oh, like, can you please, like, try and bring it to Leah because, like, Edward's heard how Leah doesn't like eating in wolf form, like, it grosses her out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's basically Edward's trying to persuade Jacob to deliver the offers in such a way that Leah will be persuaded to actually say yes to help from the vampires. But as they're just vibing, having this conversation, suddenly there's a pained cry from the house. So Jacob once again puts off sleep and goes back inside. And I like the paragraph that describes this because it's so true. I'm like, oh, you have to go again. And he starts shuffling like a zombie, as is in the text, using about the same number of brain cells, too. It didn't feel like I had a choice. Something was wrong. I would go see what it was. There would be nothing I could do. Like,
and I would feel worse.
And I would feel worse. Exactly.
It seemed inevitable.
It's just like this repeated thing. Yeah, where he's just like, okay, I'll go in. Yes, she's in pain. Oh, there's nothing I can do because she's in pain because she chose to carry this pregnancy. Okay, time to leave again. And
I
feel
still
worse
haven't slept.
About it. Yeah.
Right.
And just keep feeling worse. So Bella cracked a rib.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
She's like, he's just kicking.
And Rosalie's like, it's normal. Even human babies sometimes break ribs. He's just strong. Rosalie, I swear to God. Rosalie in these chapters.
I have so, like, I feel like I oscillate so much between how I feel about Rosalie.
I know.
Vacillate? Oscillate?
both?
There's a word in there. That's what I... Yeah, I think both of those words could work. Basically, sometimes I find her wonderful in these chapters, and sometimes I find her fucking insufferable.
She is fucking crazy. And
she's crazy, but she's free.
Exactly. She is fucking crazy, but she is free.
Yeah. Yeah, she really is those things.
So, yeah, the sort of deal here is, oh, Bella's feeling stronger now because she's been drinking the blood, but now the baby's also healthier and able to kick harder.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's cracked a rib.
Yep.
They all run upstairs because apparently Carlisle brought home an x-ray machine.
Yeah, sure. Which
seems just bullshit, but whatever. I guess we'll just gloss over that. 100%
bullshit. What? Do you have like a fucking lead-lined room? Like, what do you do? What?
No, exactly. That's what I'm literally saying.
Oh my God.
And also, how do you get the authority to bring that home?
Right. You can't just take home medical equipment because the hospital needs that.
Yeah, they walk in one morning and Carlisle is just unscrewing, like, bolts that keep the thing in place. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, sorry, I got a sick kid at home.
Yeah.
They're like, do you need an x-ray? He's like, yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah, you know, he just, like, flashes his hospital badge. He's like, emergency, top secret it's business. Like, and they're like, oh, I understand. Carry on, sir.
What was that book's... what is it? Oh, I think it was Supernatural. Where
they always had a badge of some sort that they flashed.
Well, I know, but there's this particular thing I'm thinking of where, oh, it's Doctor Who, isn't it?
I've never seen Doctor Who.
I think he has like a badge, but he basically can flash it and it shows whatever he needs in that given moment.
That does sound like Doctor Who.
I'm pretty sure it's Doctor Who.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Fans are gonna shout at us if we're saying the wrong thing.
I'm pretty sure it's right.
Well, it's not Supernatural. Supernatural.
Supernatural is just the one where they have a million fake things.
Yeah, exactly.
They're criminals. But then I think Doctor Who, I forget what it's called. It has some sort of particular name that's very whimsical, as Doctor Who is wont to be.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it sounds right to me too. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Because if it wasn't Supernatural, it was Doctor Who, because they're in the same era of time for me.
Super Who-lock.
Okay, I didn't want to say that out loud, but you said it, so now we're here.
Well, I had to say it so that every listener could have, like, a cringe.
A visceral cringe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank God I was never on Tumblr.
I was not into any of those media properties while on Tumblr, so.
You're so brave.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't really see that much unless the memes filtered through. It was pretty nice.
I never watched Sherlock, but the other two I definitely watched. Yeah,
I was only on Supernatural. And
I'd be thinking about rewatching Supernatural just to, like, give myself some pain.
just for the flashbacks.
Yeah, I would. I mean, the first four or five seasons are pretty good.
I agree.
The first two, when it's like very Monster of the Week, is just perfect.
I love it.
We've definitely had this conversation before. But we're
the first two seasons of Buffy, the first two seasons of Supernatural, Monster of the Week. Yep.
It's all Monster of the Week. We can just plug in that fucking RPG.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So anyway, Carlisle has an x-ray machine. That's absolutely bullshit. They're not just like, oh yeah, we had an extra one in the basement. You can just take that one. Shut the fuck.
Like, that is so... Especially if you have an extra one, you give it to somewhere else that needs one.
Especially because they talk like... Because they were saying, like, in the next chapter, why don't they just take Bella and, like, leave for now? Because like, even keeping them here? It would be safer. And it's like, oh, Carla has, like, the access to all the medical stuff that we need here and the credentials for. And I'm like... And for the x-ray machine?
Right. Just get a U-Haul, put the x-ray machine in there. You can go wherever you want.
Yeah. Anyway.
And he's like, oh, we need more blood. It's like, okay.
You can just get that.
He still has doctor credentials.
He could still just be like, let me just quickly get a job at this hospital that nobody works at because it's really far away from people where they're desperate for people to be doctors. And then there you go, blood.
And then exploit it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We love exploitation.
We do. So they all run upstairs. And Alice is here finally.
Alice is finally here.
We've been waiting for her.
I know. We were just mentioning her.
Yeah, exactly.
And we get a sort of explanation as to why she hasn't been around, which is that Bella and the baby give her headaches.
Same.
So Yeah, no, literally, honestly, same. So she describes it as Bella. So she can't feel the baby or anything that's going on mm-hmm. in there. And yeah. Bella gets really blurry because she can't get one particular outcome, I guess, out of it. She's tied to the baby that she can't read. So she gets like fuzzy, like a bad reception on a television is what she says.
Yeah.
And this is, again, where it starts being like, Alice is like, you know, you it's kind of like you. And he's like, there's nothing that.
How dare you?
He's like, I have nothing in common with that bloodsucker. Yeah. And I literally wrote, just you wait. Just you fucking wait, bro. You got a big storm coming,
oh,
honey.
Oh, yeah. The biggest of storms.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And she's just like, can I just stay here? Because I finally don't have a headache. This is pretty sweet.
Yeah, she's just so happy to be able to relax.
Yeah, because
and then
she can't see
Jacob
him at all,
can finally sleep.
Yeah.
He
just crashes on the fucking living room floor.
Which is such a vibe. When you're just really eepy, you gotta take a little nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob.
So he takes his little nappy nap and dreams about drinking bleach.
He does. And then he wakes up and he's like, this is the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life. Why does it smell like vampires or straight up my nose? And someone gave him a pillow, but it smells like the same horrible, stinging vampire smell. So he's like, this is probably meant to be nice, unless it was Rosalie, and then it was meant to fuck with me.
So funny.
I love their fucking rivalry so much.
I know.
So much.
I know. So he's taking in the room and Bella's back. The IV is gone.
And Seth
Rosalie's
is here.
There. Yeah, like they're all there. And then he's like, he smelled something familiar and he's like, oh, Seth's here.
Yeah. And Seth has his arm around Bella because she got cold.
I know.
And Jacob's so weird about it.
I know. I was literally going to say that.
Yeah.
I hate it. I think there's like a level to like a protective romantic interest that is fun. But one, he's not the romantic interest. Two,
it's Seth.
Seth's a child.
Yeah. Seth is 14.
Like, why is he getting upset about it? Like, it's like a rival.
It's exactly.
It's literally Seth.
It's Seth who is baby, precious little boy. And
right.
He's 14 years old and he just loves both Bella and Edward so much as friends. He's like, I love these people.
He literally just, they're like the parent friends for him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so weird how weird Jacob is about it.
Yeah, he's like, why do you have your arm on her? Don't touch her. I wish that Seth wouldn't be touching her. And it's like, why?
And I don't, I'm pretty sure it seems like Edward doesn't even really care.
No.
Like, the husband doesn't care. He's like, yeah, Bella got cold.
Yeah. Because it's Seth. Best boy Seth.
Because it's Seth. Best boy Seth. Innocent baby. But then Seth sees that Jacob is glaring at him and removes his arm. He's also eating breakfast that Esme, or no, that Edward made.
That Edward made, yeah. He's like, holy shit, man, you cook so good.
It's so funny.
It's so sweet. Yeah, he's got like bacon, like a giant cinnamon roll and some omelets.
Yeah. I'm hungry.
Me too.
Look, like reading that.
Yeah.
I want it.
It sounds really, really good. I mean, I love breakfast, so that sounds amazing.
Breakfast is the best meal. I never get it enough, but like I love like brunch.
Yeah. That's why we go to Stack like, when you come over and we go see Shannon.
No, exactly. And we see Shannon and we say, hey girl, what's up? And she falls against a wall again.
Yeah, because she's like, what do you mean? What's wheat toast?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Canadians don't know what wheat is, apparently. Whatever. Anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Brunch with, like, a mimosa.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, bud.
Absolutely.
Like, you start with the big... You get your drink.
Mm-hmm.
And you get there. You get iced coffee. Right?
Delicious.
Or hot coffee, whatever. You get coffee, period.
Yeah.
You look at the menu.
Yeah.
You order your food and you order a mimosa. By the time the mimosa comes, you've finished your coffee.
Yeah.
And then you're a few sips into your mimosa and your giant breakfast gets there.
Yeah.
And then you're happy.
Yes, you are.
Drink another mimosa, maybe one more.
And then you're even happier. Go home,
take a nap.
Yeah.
Profit.
Yeah. That's the right of it.
That's literally what I'm saying. If you guys haven't done that exactly what I just said.
Try it.
Go do it this weekend and then send me a Discord DM.
A DM. Don't put it on our Discord server.
Don't put it on main.
DM Cam
instantly
directly.
Message me personally. I will respond and say thank you so much. You need to send a picture with proof of your coffee, your mimosa, and your food. But I will say good job. I'm so proud of
you.
And
we'll give you a shout out next episode.
We will. Genuinely, yes, genuinely. I will do this. If you do this between now and the time that we record the next episode, yes, I will absolutely do that.
That basically gives you approximately 2 weeks.
I think, yeah. I think it's, wait, what day is it? What year is it? It's actually going to be 3 weeks because I'm going to be out of town 2 weeks from now.
Sick. Great. You've got 3 weeks for your assignment.
You guys have 3 weeks to get a really nice brunch and send me a picture.
What if I get a really nice brunch and send you a picture?
You'll also get a gold star.
And you have to shout me out.
I will. I'll also shout myself out. I'll go get brunch when I'm out of town.
Where are you going out of town? And
I'm visiting my friends in Boston.
Oh, nice.
This is where I'm doing this one shot that I'm...
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. It's going to be in person.
I have
person.
A whole week off. I'm really excited. I'm so excited. I'm running a one shot with my friends, for context for the listeners, even though you guys don't care. TLDR, I'm running a one shot. All of my friends have the most ridiculous names. There's a gunslinger named Chevy Ford. I don't know what's going on. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. You got to have... stupid shit for a one shot. It just has to be. That's the way.
Yeah. I'm so excited to brutally kill off Chevy Ford.
I look forward to hearing
like they're like hee hee ha ha, this is my silly guy, he's like a cowboy man, yeah. And his name is Chevy Ford, and I'm like, oh, okay,
he's dead.
I'm gonna kill him in a really heart-wrenching way. Roll a new character, asshat.
Yeah, like, dumbass.
All right, well, anyway, back to the story. Jake slept all night and into dawn.
Yep.
So big oopsies, but he got his sleep that he needed. So yeah, we're all exactly. happy.
So he also chastises Seth for like, hey, does Leah have food? Like, you're out here munching on everything. And he's like, yeah, I literally brought her food before I ate anything. But obviously she's not going to eat it. And Jacob's like, you know what? I'm going to leave too. I'm going to just go hunt with her because Jacob also refuses the food like a little bitch. And he thinks about how
it
like
looks so good.
And he thinks about how he's just like going to lie to her and like, you know, dump it somewhere. And then he's like, Edward, I know you can hear me. Don't you dare tell her.
I know.
You owe me one. That's... Don't tell her.
That's so funny. Cause yeah, he's like, I'm just going to leave. And Esme's like, oh, please take this more food. And I left the clothes for Leah, and he's like, yeah. And in his head, he's like, I'm not going to fucking take any of this.
Yeah.
And he realizes that.
Edward,
oh, it's such a good interaction.
Because
he doesn't look at Edward.
Yeah.
He like refuses to look at him for like fear of Esme realizing what's going on.
Yeah.
But he's just thinking really aggressively, you better not.
I know. The comedy of Jacob realizing when Edward can hear him and thinking specific things at him is always so funny to me. I think it's
so good.
A really fun dynamic to read because obviously in Bella's head we don't have that because he specifically can't read her mind. So having the thoughts of someone who's then always like, fuck, Edward's listening. Something, right. Something, Edward, like, don't look at me.
Yeah, the Twilight version of Big Brother is watching you.
Yeah.
Edward Cullen is listening.
Edward Cullen, Big Brother's you.
Yeah.
So.
In our new fanfic. Set in 1984.
Before Jacob can leave, Carlisle actually approaches him and is asking for advice about the vampires going hunting, which again is such a Carlisle move where he's not telling Jacob what to do or what he's going to do, but approaching with a, hey, I respect your opinion and your... expertise in this. What would you do in my position? Which I don't know. I think that's like a super cool move of Carlisle. He's so chill.
Yeah, Carlisle's the best. And he has the ability to have such authority, and he just chooses to not take that. Sweet, sweet cinnamon roll boy.
I love
him. He's just so nice.
I love him.
He's just too good. He's just so good.
He's literally never done something nice wrong guy. In my head. I don't think he's ever done anything
I agree.
He even wanted to abort the baby.
Exactly. Man's is perfect. And that's why I want to marry him.
You just should.
FYI. If you are Carlisle Cullen and you're listening to this, I can give you better than Esme.
Cam gives great head, in other words.
I do, yeah. I can handle a marble cock.
Clip that.
Please don't. I mean, please do, but please don't. Oh, man.
Anyway.
I really say things.
Yeah, you do. So, Carlos.
So, that's the end of that chapter, yeah, I guess.
He's just like, how do we go hunting? And Jacob says, actually, like, you're probably going to be fine. We'll do, like, some scouting and stuff. You should probably just, like, all go at once to, like, have better numbers. But Carlisle is so Carlisle, and he's like, I don't want you to have to ever fight your own, like, brothers from the other pack. I wouldn't feel right putting you in that position. We'll split into smaller groups. It'll be fine. Like, we'll make that work. And, yeah. Then Esme finishes off the chapter by doing the pleading emoji at Jacob to take some food.
The pleading hearts emoji. Exactly. Absolutely.
Also, the fact that Jacob comments how she only looks like she's in her mid-20s, but reminds him of his mom. She is in her mid-20s! Again, I just feel like this is so weird.
Yeah.
I just... Carlisle and
she's
Esme,
giving mother.
She is giving mother. She gives mother, and Carlisle gives father. But if you look at their ages and saw them in a room, not the actors, because the actors, they actually did the right age arrangement, it would look weird. It fucking weirds me out to think about. So I don't want to be reminded
so
of it.
Strange.
I don't want to be reminded of their ages. I wish Jacob hadn't thought that.
I see. I want them to give mother and father, not daddy and mommy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I mean, maybe I want Carlisle to give
Carlisle can give daddy
but,
and father.
But I want him to give it in a Silver Fox way, not in a you're maybe 2 years older than me way.
Because Stephanie wrote the characters. She could have just made it that he was turned into a vampire when he was 39.
Right. I also think it's fun to sometimes have
like an unconventional
like a
family.
Slow aging.
Sure.
Or like a slow aging.
Okay.
In your immortals.
Okay.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know if he would look this old at this point, especially if the, you know, Volturi are just like as they are. But I feel like there was a way to, you know, I like a slow aging immortal. Or he could have just gotten turned later. Just, whatever. Either way is fine with me.
Yeah. I don't know. She had the choice. She didn't have to make him 23, you know?
Yeah. He is my age, isn't he?
Yeah. That upsets me. You see?
That's concerning for me.
You see?
I hate the men my age.
Exactly.
I hate me my age.
Listen, I hated the me that age too. We all go through
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
Sometimes you get Thank stuck you. That way if you're Carlisle, apparently.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, I don't
That's
know.
That's rough.
I just, every time I think about it, I'm like, Steph, you had the choice. You could have just not done that.
And she should have known that we would all be extremely happy with a daddy Carlisle.
Right. I mean, I love an unconventional family and like, oh, they're, you know, he plays the father role, but he's not actually their father. Like, he adopted them because he made them into vampires. But like, if he's going to literally play their father as a human cover story, it's not fucking believable.
When he looks maybe 5 to 7 years older
than
them.
It's not believable. It's stupid at that
point. Right. Because I just think about like 23 to 17.
Exactly.
And I get that he's not supposed to be the biological father.
No.
I don't care.
I don't care
That's
either.
Insane behavior.
That's insane. It is unhinged. No one is going to look at that person and be like, oh, yes, of course he wanted to father these children by adopting them.
Also, like, it must be harder to, when you're young, to adopt, like, teenage kids, right?
Of course.
Like, there's got to be something.
I'm sure he has a fake.
With that.
Fake ID and passport and all of his social security is all faked to be, like, 30. And it's just like, oh, he's just super hot. So he's 30, but he looks like, you know, he's 20.
Yeah. Do you think that everyone just thinks Carlisle has had a lot of plastic surgery?
I think they don't. Because I think he looks too good for plastic surgery.
Okay. What if it's like new plastic surgery?
Okay, it could be new. I mean, I guess the thing is, I'm
it
like,
hasn't,
this is 2005.
It hasn't gotten creepy yet.
It's true.
True.
Hasn't gotten creepy yet. It's fresh.
It hasn't become Uncanny Valley
yet. He bought into the TikToks that tell people who in their 20s to get Botox early.
Oh my God, stop. Because I've been seeing those and I'm like, what the fuck are these people on?
It's unhinged. Anyway. It is terrifying.
It's insane behavior.
Anyway.
Should we get to the next chapter?
Yeah, let's get to the next chapter. It's called TikTok, TikTok, TikTok.
Which is giving...
Hunger Games.
Again, that gal from Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's giving TikTok, 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 TikTok.
Virus. Shout out to you. You figured out that the arena is a clock.
I just love crazy women.
Yeah, you do.
Clip that. No context. I just love crazy women. Yeah. I have no justification for that.
There doesn't need to be one. It's just a fact.
Yeah, you're great. Okay, so Leah threw the shit down a stream.
Yep, she did.
What a bitch. Ugh. I love Leah.
I love her so much.
I appreciate her conviction. I'm so just like, I just wish she wasn't so aggressively anti-vampire.
It's, you know, it's the classic point in a story where you just like, you want someone to do something a certain way and you're like, just let me love you. Just let someone love you. And it's like, they're rejecting it. And you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. And I think... it's supposed to be a point of tension, but I think the tension would be a lot more interesting if she interacted with them.
Yeah, because she just doesn't. So there's no tension there. It's just she just doesn't, and she just gets
rid of everything.
Yeah.
Right. Which, okay, sure.
Sure.
But I think it would be a lot more interesting if she did either willingly or because she doesn't really have another option, like, has to interact with them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go well, but it's like way more interesting to see that happen than to just have her never be able to be there with the rest of the characters.
Yeah.
I think that also just it writes her out of the story, too.
Yeah, she's there and we got some really good intro inside her head moments, but she has not served any other purpose in moving along this Cullen plot. So,
yeah, you know. It is interesting how Jacob comments on how they actually get along pretty well now.
Yeah,
she still doesn't like that he's softening to the vampires, but he's like, we always got on each other's nerves in Sam's Pack, but now we're kind of chill.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice.
It is nice.
And again, this is feeding into my theory of their enemies to besties arc.
So he gets a rundown from Seth what happened while he was asleep. This is where we learn that the Cullens are not planning to leave because all the medical equipment access they have here and fear of just moving Bella while she's in this current condition. Bella broke another rib. So that's happening to her. But more importantly, Bella has been talking to Charlie on the phone.
Insane. Okay, well, that's insane. Firstly, I'm backing up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I know this is probably the right way you're supposed to do it, but I like that they just talk about Charlie just tapes her up.
Yeah.
Or not Charlie, Carlisle just tapes her up when she cracks a rib, which I understand is probably how you're supposed to do it, but I just like to imagine he's using scotch tape. And he's like surgically opening and like just putting a little bit of scotch tape over the bone and being like, it's fine. Anyway, I know. I just want you to imagine the things that
I've imagined.
You've it's in your mind palace now.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, now we can move on. She's calling Charlie.
Yes, for some reason.
Everyone disliked that.
Yeah, Jacob and Edward are both like, why the fuck? Because, and they all know this. Everyone's thinking it. Why give Charlie hope when she's still going to turn into a vampire at the end of this, even if she manages to survive and have the baby? She's going to be a vampire, which means she's going to die and disappear from his life. So,
and this is literally giving them the best out.
Yeah.
Even if she does live with this baby and she's still human when after she has the baby, which of course I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But whatever. Even if that does happen, this is the perfect opportunity to make it seem like she died.
Right, because they already have the buildup of saying, oh, she came back, she's sick. No, you can't see her. She's got a quarantine. They were in Brazil. Some weird thing is happening. And they've had the time and the buildup. It's not like a sudden thing. It's like this is already sort of getting adjusted to the idea that, like, this is pretty serious. She might not make it.
Yeah.
Then she doesn't make it. And then they don't have to come up with any different lie. Like, they've already done this. the build-up.
Right, exactly. Like, you're already going to the extent to have this one thing happen. It feels just mean to have him feel this relief, and then they're just going to do it again.
Yeah.
It's cruel. It really is cruel. And she is...
She's
I mean,
delusional.
It's hard, though.
She's Delulu.
It is. She's really Delulu. I will say, I think... I don't know. It's not written in the text this way because it's more... She talks... I think it says that she's more... She doesn't want him to be stressed. But in my brain, like, I could see her doing this if she's worried that she's actually going to die. Like, if...
Yeah.
I don't care. Okay. Just, like, I don't care if you love your husband and your husband's family and all this stuff. Uh-huh. If you are in a life-threatening situation and you have a good relationship with your parents...
Yep.
Even if you can't see them in person, you desperately will want to talk to them.
Yes. Especially, like, if you're in trouble.
Right. Like, I just had fucking appendicitis. I wasn't going to die, but I was still like, I want my papa. Like,
papa, please.
And when my parents came and visited, it was the best thing in the world. Yeah. Like, so, like, it frustrates me that they don't mention that side of it at all. Because Bella just brushes off the fact that she's dying.
Yeah, she does.
Which is crazy also.
But, like, and she's just always like
so
that.
So confident that it's going to be chill.
She's always like that. Like, brushing shit off about her own life. Think about it.
But in other situations, I feel like I can see it more because they're more, she's taking a risk and XYZ, where she's just like, it's probably going to be fine. But with this, she's seeing her own body deteriorate. And she is committed to doing this the way she's going to do this.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You would feel like she would want to, like, I don't know. You'd feel like she'd be self-aware that, like,
she's fucking
when your body's
not.
Literally shutting down.
She's,
like... How do you not realize
she's fucking
that?
Delusional. She's just, all she is, this is Edward's baby. I love Edward so much. And this is Edward's baby. Like, think about this. There's also a trope in the woman gets pregnant and is mostly written out, in which she dies in childbirth, but she partially lives on because she gave birth to the baby and the man now has the baby and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know?
And it's like, okay, I hate this too.
Yeah.
But
it's, I lived long enough to have this baby. Now Edward can have this baby. And that's so special of me to have done this for
and
him.
And fret not, male protagonist. You have trauma and character development with the sake of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congrats.
And you have a baby. I'm sure you won't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Enjoy having a baby while also processing your grief.
Yeah.
That won't be complicated at
this
all.
This was a good idea. This certainly won't go poorly for you or your child.
Yeah. So anyway, Jacob comes back to do his Bella warming up because Seth's like, I could go if you don't want to go back. And Jacob's like, no, I'll do it.
What a freak.
Oh, what a freak.
And this is again where he's like, I don't get why I'm still being so drawn to her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you are already in love with her baby.
Yep. Alice.
It's happening.
Alice acts like he's late to her appointment of headache removal.
Yeah. So cute.
And then Jacob's stomach rumbles for everyone to hear. And Alice's bright idea is, Rosalie, can you get some food for Jacob?
Oh my God. This is the funniest part in this entire book.
I was waiting
so far.
For you to read this part.
Oh my God. Oh. So... Rosalie is like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then she's like, fine, I'll do it. And
do you hear a bunch of banging sounds and like metal bending sounds?
Right. Right.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
She comes back out and she places down in front of Jacob something which had been a mixing bowl that she bent into the shape of a large dog dish.
By folding, like, the top half, like, down and out into, like, that
right.
bowl shape that has a rim.
Yes. Yes. And then she also scratched the word Fido into the side. In reportedly excellent handwriting.
Queen shit.
And I just about died.
It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
The best part.
And this is what I'm... you go ahead.
The best part. Is that Jacob's not even, like, pissed off. He's just like, oh, she did a pretty good job with this. He's like, this is pretty funny.
I know, he's like, He's like, I had to be impressed with her quick craftsmanship.
Right.
And her attention to detail.
To me, it makes it funnier because she's obviously doing it as, like, a dig at him. He's just like, not bad craftsmanship. Like, he's so unfazed by it. He's like, all right.
I know.
Cool.
It's so funny. And he just calls, he just tells her another blonde
joke. Yeah, yeah. This one is, do you know what you call a blonde with a brain? A golden retriever. That's a classic.
Bark.
That's a classic.
And it's dog themed.
It's dog themed.
Which is really good.
The best thing, too, is this ongoing blonde joke thing is Rosalie keeps being like, yeah, I've heard that one before. Yeah, that one's not original either. Keep trying.
Right, because she's, first of all, she's clever. And second of all, she's been blonde forever. And third of all, she is immortal. So she's had a lot of time to hear people make blonde jokes about her.
Yeah.
And she's been going from high school to high school.
Right, exactly. In the mid-2000s. Like,
the prime location for blonde jokes.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a funny rivalry where, for the most part, there's no, like, no one's doing harm in any way. They're just being little bitches at each other.
Right, and it's so entertaining. It's so endlessly funny. So.
We get an update on when Bella might be due to have her little demon baby. And
in 4 days.
Yeah, Carlisle estimates, you know, based on centimeter growth, that since she's gaining 2 or more centimeters a day, that it'll probably be in 4 days.
How long has she been pregnant?
A couple weeks.
Like, a couple weeks?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God. This book is...
Yeah.
This is why I texted you. This book is fucking insane.
That makes sense. I wondered what part made you crack. And
it was just both of these chapters. I don't know what it was about the combination of these two chapters, but so many things happened.
Understandable.
I don't even.
We'll only keep doing that. So Bella then has this line of, it feels complete when you're here, Jacob. Like, my family is together. It's just not whole unless you're here.
It's just, again, okay, listen.
I'm listening.
Bella's just being cruel on cruel on cruel right now.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It's not fair.
It's clear that this is not something that works. And it's, at this point, completely unfair of her to want both of these things at the same time.
Yeah, it's this.
Because she knows that Jacob struggles with this. And she knows that doesn't really work that way with them.
Yeah.
And she still insists on having it all.
Yeah, exactly. It's she really wants it all. She wants to have her cake and eat it too. And you know, it's not necessarily her fault that Jacob fell for her, but she has failed multiple times to really shut it down. Even after choosing Edward, she's still like, but I want you around, but can't you just be my friend and stay? And as soon as she says she wants Jacob around, it's very hard for him to resist that because he has such deep feelings about her. And it sucks. Absolutely. I really feel bad for him. I really do.
Yeah. Ugh. It's just weird. And we get more of, it feels like you're supposed to be part of my life. I can feel that. You can feel that. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, it's because of the baby. It's in my brain.
Yeah.
And, oh my God. And I'm also just thinking about how I'm concerned that the conclusion of this book is going to be that they were always drawn to each other because one day she would inevitably have the baby that would be his wife.
Right, like it, like, started that early.
Right, like is that why they've even been... Because, you know, even before, they're friends and Bella feels drawn to him and he feels drawn to her. And of course he has a crush on her, but it's also like... God, has it been this way all along? Oh, no. I just have a lot of fear in my heart, personally.
Yeah, I can understand that extremely. There's a lot to be afraid of.
I'm scared. There's a lot to be afraid of in this fantasy vampire book.
I mean, what do you think happens for the entire second half of this book? Like, we're on chapter 16, 15.
I don't know. There's gonna be a baby that's gonna be in love with Jacob.
There's 39 chapters of this book, so
there's gonna be the Volturi in some degree. Bella needs to turn into a vampire.
Sure.
Roll credits. I don't know.
Roll credits.
I don't know, and I'm too scared to ask.
Yep. I mean,
but I get why this was made into two movies.
Yeah. A lot is happening. A lot's going on suddenly.
So much is happening.
So
I'm so scared.
Edward and Jacob have a little chat about being in contact with Charlie because she wants to stay in touch with him, and say that she had to go to a hospital really far away and just like stay away from him for like a year because obviously she can't see him in person. Mm-hmm. But then she'll be like the same way that she figured out what Jacob is, or that he's different. She won't tell Charlie, but she'll show up looking weird and just be like, he's a smart guy. He'll come to his own conclusions. It's fine. I don't need to tell him anything.
But I also love that she's like, I assume that he will get it wrong. Like, he won't guess vampire.
Yeah.
But you'll come to some conclusion that makes it so that we can coexist.
Sure. I mean.
Okay, guy, whatever you say.
Yes. She's insane.
As long as you're not trying to eat him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as long as you don't try and eat your dad.
Yeah. I don't know. She just is trying to have the best of both worlds.
She's doing it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I can have this too.
This is where I say that she's being selfish. It's frustrating.
It's so funny because of all the times that she's called herself selfish in these books. And we're
like, she's not been.
Yeah, and we're like, you're literally not. You're just asking for the most basic thing. It's not selfish to want, like, your boyfriend to do something for you, you know?
Right.
But this time.
But then in this moment, she's being fucking crazy.
I am fucking crazy.
But I'm free. Maybe that's why they're getting along. They're both crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The dots I'm connecting them.
Yeah. So they're basically Edward and Jacob are both like, this is fucking stupid. Classic Bella. She's stupid.
And then they move on.
Yes. They do move on.
And they mention that according to sudden research that Jasper and Emmett have found in old myths, which is so bullshit, by the way, it appears that baby vampires will eat their way out of the womb,
mm-hmm.
brew the pussy.
I don't think that's the direction they go.
Oh, through the stomach. I think through the pussy will be funnier, but okay. So we're going to get, like, an alien situation.
Right.
The chest. What do they call the chest?
Chest
yeah. We're going to get one of those bitches.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be that fucking creepy-ass doll from the movie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that bursting of someone's chest would give me nightmares.
It's scary.
Yeah. So, to be fair, that is a scary alien situation.
That is a terrifying baby child.
That is maybe more terrifying than the actual chest burster, which
mostly
just looks like a worm.
Why didn't they get a couple of real babies for that movie? Okay, whatever.
Well.
They had such a high budget.
They had too much money to spend, clearly.
Yeah. They were like, we're going to CGI this terrifying doll. Everyone was like, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea. Let's greenlight that.
Jesus Christ.
Let's throw some money that way. Perfect.
Yeah.
So, they've been doing research. They do know, because the woman that first spoke to them in Brazil was like a local native, and she had a bunch of myths that had been passed down, and that's why she was like terrified of Bella's situation.
I find it hilarious that Jasper and Emmett were the ones in charge of doing research.
I know.
The two dumbest idiots.
This is like sending Dan and Gerg.
Right. It's like sending an engineer to do research.
Yeah, those are our dumb engineer friends, so that's all you
need to know. Yeah, those are my favorite brand of man, but also just the stupidest. I love you, but I hate you.
You're so dumb.
You're so dumb and charming.
So I guess they've been down in South America doing research.
Endearing.
So then, of course, the question is, but do the mothers survive?
And before this question gets answered, Rosalie out of left field barrels in and says some fucking racist ass shit.
Oh, you mean giving birth in the middle of a disease-infested swamp with a medicine man smearing sloth spit across your face to drive out the evil spirits was never the safest method.
It's so, fuck, it's racist.
It is.
It's like xenophobic.
It's insane.
It's like, we were just having a normal conversation and she like busts down the door and says this shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I know.
It's giving the fucking, the British meeting Native Americans for the first time and being like,
they're so savage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking insane.
It's insane. And she's acting like...
Also...
Whatever...
Yeah, go ahead.
Whatever, you know, local, like, beliefs of, like, medicine and, you know, herbal medicine and stuff like that. She's acting like this is a normal birth in the first place.
Yeah.
Which it's not.
I will also say, she's acting like these are the current...
Right.
Completely always used methods.
Exactly. Right.
In this location. Like,
she's like, oh,
she's they not live... thinking about the fact that in the same era of time that she is hearing about this,
yeah.
as if everyone else wasn't also doing the same shit.
Yeah, this is when people were fucking dying because some dude would fucking, you know, have his hands like up his ass and then go give childbirth and be like, I don't know how she got infected. It's, yeah, I don't know why she died from an infection.
Would scratch the inside of his anus yeah. and then deliver a child.
Right.
And he'd be like, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Why she died.
Exactly.
Like,
because hand washing wasn't yeah. invented as a practice to keep disease from spreading.
I
know.
This is.
It's so awful. I mean, there's a reason I quoted it outright, because it's fucking awful.
And it's. Absolutely out of nowhere is the other thing
right.
about this is that I'm just like having a good time reading this chapter and then I just got smacked in the face with that and it was so fucking jarring.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Just why the fuck did what? Okay.
Yes.
So again, and as I'm saying, I very much feeling a lot of things about Rosalie in these chapters.
Exactly.
And once I'm now just being swung back on the pendulum to the other side of like, all right, you fucking suck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then she opens with that is the thing, which is like,
that's what she says first, which is
that's
crazy.
Her cold open.
That's the start of her type five.
And then she goes on to talk about how, oh, but this baby's different. It has people who understand its needs and can care for it properly. Nobody's ever had, you know, the love and attention who would know exactly what it craves because it has people like it and we can give it the love that it needs and when it's born, you know, it will know what it needs and we can help it and this is going to be completely different from any other birth and I'm not even sure that those other mothers even existed. I think this is all a lie and this is the first time that's ever happened.
Not one mention
of Bella surviving.
Yeah, she's just like, the baby will be fine.
Will be okay at the end of this, because we know how to take care of it, because we're vampires, and we know what it needs, and it will be loved like no other. What about Bella?
Yeah. So, luckily, Jacob does what we all want to do to Rosalie in this moment, is he turns around, picks up the doggy bowl, and smacks her in the back of the head with it.
After Edward was about to attack her, and Jacob thinks, I've got this.
Yeah, he says, allow me.
It's so good. Another perfect Edward mind-reading moment where he's like, no, stand back. Allow me. And everybody fucking dies laughing at this. Like, Alice is laughing. Jacob is crying laughing because it hits her so hard
actual tears.
That the bowl, like, smushes flat and ricochets off her head and, like, breaks something on the staircase.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so
and
bad.
All she says is, you got food in my hair. And everyone's,
which is so real.
Everyone's, like, dying laughing, like...
It's so good. And it's just like...
It's so good.
It's the best thing that could have...
It is. She deserved to get... She deserved that. To get hit for this moment. She really did. So, thank you, Jacob.
Yeah. Just incredible.
And we get a follow-up blonde joke after. Not so hard to erase a blonde's memory. Just blow in her ear. Round of applause. Thank you, Jacob. Extremely amazing performance.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Bella suddenly convulses with her back arching up because the fetus is all stretching. And she's like, aw, he's so big. He just doesn't have enough room anymore. And
Delulu.
Completely Delulu. Like, this girl belongs to Rosalie. They are crazy. Put them in crazy jail.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My God. Kylo brings up genetics again, which I don't want to get into. But again, with Jacob, maybe it's like
I was so excited when I read that. Because I wasn't even, like, again, I'm just reading my little book. And I'm, you know, going through it. And I just see the word chromosomes. And I just knew. I was just This was another reason why I said this book is fucking insane. Because I read one word and I was like, oh, M is probably having a fucking seizure right
thing.
Now.
Here's the thing. I said I wasn't getting into it.
But you should.
But his, like, theory of, like, oh, maybe it's more like you because Alice can't see your future either. And it seems to be growing really fast, which is, like, Jacob had accelerated growth as he was becoming a werewolf. And also, like, oh, but if vampires have 25 and humans have 23, maybe if you combine them together, it averages to 24. And Jacob also has 24. What the f- That's not how any of this works.
What is going on?
That's not how any of this works. Like, oh, now it has 24, which means it's like Jacob. You're both just the same because you both have 24 chromosomes. That's not how...
This man is a fucking doctor.
Yeah, this man needs his license removed. He's a fake doctor. He got fake credentials from Doctor Who.
We were fine with him stealing an x-ray machine. We're fine with him stealing blood, but we draw the line at whatever the fuck is going on with this genetics conversation that he's having.
He literally got the Doctor Who, like, fucking doctor license thing, and he's been lying about being a doctor ever since.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I will say, by the way, while you were talking, I did just have a brain blast.
Oh, okay.
Which is something that I was on the cusp of realizing... And I finally just put it together in my little monkey brain, which was that the reason Alice can't see the baby isn't because of any, like, warding. It's because this baby is so intrinsically tied to Jacob's life that I think that she can't see its future because it's tied to a werewolf's future. Mm. That's my latest brain blast moment that I hope is correct.
That's a great brain blast moment. Yeah.
This is what makes sense to me. I hope I'm not desperately incorrect. But it makes, like... Because she couldn't see what Bella was doing when Bella had something connected to Jacob.
Yep.
So since this baby is going to be permanently, like, fated to fucking be with this werewolf for God knows what reason, she can't even learn about it.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, I'm a genius. Just jot that down.
I will jot that down.
I hope I'm wrong.
We end this chapter with Jacob musing about how if they've got to get the baby out, but it's surrounded by this vampire, thick, tough, amniotic sac, and the only thing that they know can get it out is the fact that the baby's teeth can chew out of it, wolf teeth are strong enough, and also vampire teeth. Yum yum.
Yeah, so they're gonna do a vampire C-section. They're gonna do a cannibalistic C-section.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sounds like it.
I am... I'm so excited. I'm simply so excited to get the privilege of reading on the page how
this baby
Stephanie writes this scene.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm so excited to see. I don't want to fade to black. I don't want to. It went well. It went bad. I want gory, disgusting detail of what the fuck is about to go down.
Do you want to see the movie version? And see what happens in that one.
Yes, I do.
There's so much.
I'm so excited and I'm so scared. And I just can't wait. And that's how I'm closing out my thoughts on these chapters.
I will say that I was just vibing and I read the next chapter after this one and I forgot how much I love that chapter. So I can't wait to do the next one.
Great. I have a lot of fear, just like I always do when I am reading these books.
Especially this
one. So it's about normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
About average at this point.
Well, that concludes this episode. That concludes these chapters.
Yeah.
That concludes our thoughts and the podcast. Because as you all know, insane. We're finished today. We're done. We're breaking up.
Yeah, this is our last episode. We're breaking up. Sorry, we had to tell you this way through a Twitter notes app apology. Sorry, an x.com notes app apology. Ew.
So,
x.com, gonna give it to you.
With that, I'd like to thank our master vampires for supporting our podcast. Shout out to Dan, Thea, Emily, Steven, Dory, and Cassidy. We love you very, very much. And you guys should join and you should send Cam in her DMs on Discord your pictures of your brunch with your coffee, your mimosa, and your meal. Thank you very much.
Yeah. These are all things that you must do. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And
did we have any interactions on our, or do we have any new people?
No new people.
Okay, slay. Did we have any comments?
So we have a comment from Dodie. I normally listen for the unhinged shenanigans, but Em's rant about chromosomes has been the highest point of this podcast. Worth the re-listening.
So wonderful. Yeah, I like that. My eyes glazed over when you started talking about them too. I should re-listen because I don't remember the fuck you said. I knew that you were right, and I was just like, yeah, bro.
Yeah, we've had some people in the Discord be like, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Another comment from Tori Ostendorf. These chapter titles remind me of Fall Out Boy song titles. You're so right.
That's correct. That is, you know, that man listened to
100% correct.
A lot of Fall Out Boy when he was trying to get over.
Specifically chapter 14 that we just read. You know that things are bad when you feel guilty for being rude to vampires by Fall Out Boy. It literally fits. It's perfect.
It does. It does. That would be great.
Yeah, those are our comments.
Thank you for the people who continue commenting, the people who we've seen multiple times commenting.
We really appreciate
you guys having some. It's fun. I feel like I'm not 100% shouting into the void.
Yeah.
When
somebody answers back from the void.
Yeah. We appreciate it, genuinely.
It's fun. So, yeah, that's, I guess we'll see you in the next episode, guys. We're almost at the end of Jacob's part. There's 3 chapters left, and who knows what will happen.
Yay!
I do.
I don't, and I'm so scared. I think Bella's going to have the baby.
I think Bella's going to die.
I think that the plot is going to progress.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys
that's
next time.
Prediction.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Unbitten. If you want to get in contact with us,
follow us on Twitter at UnbittenPod or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/UnbittenPod. And for now, the rest is still Unbitten.